This program is sponsored by Walter Anderson Nursery.
If you have a green thumb or have always wanted one, then get ready for Garden Talk by Walter Anderson Nursery, hosted by Ken Anderson, along with David Ross, Mark Mahady, and George Allman. Garden Talk aims to introduce new ideas, help solve problems, and keep you up to date on the latest developments in the nursery and landscaping industry. Call in now with your gardening questions. 888-344-1170. That's 888-344-1170. Now, here are your Garden Talk hosts, Ken, David, Mark, and George.
Good morning, San Diego. You're listening to Garden Talk here on KCBQ and KPRZ. I'm Ken Anderson, along with David Ross, Mark Mahady, and George Allman. We're going to be here for the next hour talking to you about all kinds of stuff going on in your yard and garden. Good morning, guys.
Good morning. How is everybody?
I'm doing well.
Good?
Doing well. Rested.
I was going to say rested.
Rested. Yeah.
Well, actually, but you're looking good, Ken.
Yeah, I was going to say. All right, you cleared your head a bit.
Yeah. It was a really nice getaway. Good. We were up in Lake Mill, and I were up in Lake Tahoe last week.
Very good.
I've forgotten how pretty it is up there, even with a little bit of smoke left over. But it's a very
pretty
place.
Didn't it make it smell like a campfire, a mountain campfire, a little bit of smoke lingering?
Not very much smoke smell at all. I mean, it was during the daytime. It was hazy, but it was kind of a white haze, so it wasn't. It didn't really look that abnormal, but when you really noticed it was at night when the sun would set in the west, and then it was pretty. You could see the sun through the smoke at that point in time. Right. So it did have some
the colors.
It did have some nice sunsets.
I know. I was going to say probably did.
But they were very fortunate that Caldor fire didn't actually make it to the lake, but it was close, and there were sections of Highway 50 where they still had traffic control between Lake Tahoe and I guess it'd be Placerville.
Okay,
would probably be the closest place. Mm-hmm. But it was a very very nice trip. Very very pretty area.
Hadn't
been up there in a long long time, so it was. And Melanie's never been there, so it was nice getaway.
Very good.
Nice getaway. I would highly recommend it. Let's see. We have classes today in both stores in San Diego. It's going to be Ferns with Jim.
Yeah, I can't tell you his last name because.
Oh, you can tell us.
I can't pronounce it. It begins with a V. I know that. Good guy,
okay. Jimmy V.
Jimmy V. Yeah.
Ferns with Jimmy V at Walter Anderson Nursery in San Diego.
Yeah, 9 o'clock. Get there early.
Yeah, get there early to get a parking space and a seat in Poway today. It's going to be Rose Care with
Mutt and Jeff.
Jeff, click and clack.
The Dave and George show.
Yeah.
So if you want to put a face to the voice you hear on radio,
or not.
Just close your eyes and listen.
I guess we could do it behind a curtain.
We could. Yeah.
That's going to be at 9:30 at the Poway store today. You know, Dave and George with Fall Rose Care. And it is getting.
We were just arguing about that as we were standing downstairs.
We were discussing it. I don't think we were arguing.
Bickering?
Bickering.
We were defining our terms.
We were deciding what we're actually going to teach because the class is in a couple hours. We should get ready for that.
And I told Mr. Allman that I have a full outline at the nursery, which is a total lie. But I told him that so he'd feel better. Did it work?
I'm comforted.
Okay, good.
Sure, it'll all go well.
We can banter.
So who turned their sprinklers off after the rain?
I did.
I can't remember if I did. I need to check.
I haven't had my sprinklers on all year, but most of my stuff's containers anyway, but still.
I'm with you, Marky. Yeah. Who turned their sprinklers off implies that my sprinklers, the automatic sprinklers, are in a functioning state and turned on, and they are not. So I didn't have to turn mine off. But everything in the yard has responded. The lawn does green. Better with water than it does without.
Correct. And the green.
As do the expanses of weed seeds that are out there.
That is true.
They are popping like crazy already. With a little bit of moisture, those weeds are popping up.
The grassy weeds. My chickens are so happy. I have a fresh crop of grassy weeds, and they don't get the old Bermuda anymore. It's these fresh sprigs are coming up, and there's quite a few of them. I've not made much of a dent in them yet, but yeah, there's a lot of weed seed that got germinated this last couple of weeks.
Well, I'm bummed that I missed the electrical stuff.
Oh, that was spectacular.
It was spectacular.
Yeah. It was one for the ages.
And I, when we had the second electrical storm, I was telling Melanie, I said, I can't remember us having electrical storms this close together, but to have three so close together is almost unheard of.
We were driving back from Disneyland when it started, and you could see it for the entirety of the drive.
Wow.
Just everywhere around us. It was spectacular.
It really was. It was like one of those Midwestern electrical thunderstorms, and it was nice.
It was nice. Yeah. And it came with some rain, so.
Yeah, we got a little bit of rain at my place, but not, it wasn't a lot, but, I mean, it was enough.
It rinsed off some leaves,
exactly.
And that's a good thing.
No, yes. We got a lot more out in the
sticks. Yeah.
But not as much as we got the week before. So my soil's saturated. I haven't had to water for almost
weeks.
2 weeks now.
Yeah.
Yep. Except for those things in pots under the porch eaves or something,
yes.
Right?
Well, and he hasn't watered those either, but yeah. Those are the things that need to be watered, correct.
Right.
Container plants, even though we get rain, a lot of times the foliage and all that stuff's kind of
deflected.
And, yep. Right, it's the truth. I mean, people think, they got wet because it rained, but that doesn't necessarily mean the soil got wet. So,
well, yeah, up in Reno, it rained Wednesday night, and then it was the streets were wet downtown on Thursday morning on our way to the airport.
That may have had nothing to do with rain. streets being wet in downtown Reno.
Yeah.
Sorry. Please continue.
But they were expecting snow flurries on Thursday.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
It was supposed to get cold.
When you were there, what was the temperature at night?
In 72 in the daytime, and it would drop down to the high 30s, low 40s at night. The weather was perfect.
I was going to say, I love that type of that Christmas in the air in Reno.
Yeah, and the weather was absolutely beautiful.
It's perfect the whole trip.
Yeah,
during the day it's nice, and evening time.
In the evening, it wasn't cold.
It was cool.
It was cool, but it was great. It was really nice. But yeah, they were expecting snow flurries on Thursday. We didn't see any on our way to the airport, but.
Which is good. You want to get out of town.
But, the crazy thing is there's very few direct flights from Reno to San Diego right now on Southwest. You have to stop somewhere. It's like a 52-minute flight or 40. It's like a 50-minute flight from Reno to Las Vegas. And then from Las Vegas to San Diego, it's a 54-minute flight. It took us 6 hours to get home. We could almost driven home from Reno in the amount of time that it takes us to fly.
Yeah.
Well, who booked that?
That's all there was. There was no other choice. You can look it up.
No, I believe you, but I don't know if I'd go to Reno first with a 6-hour flight.
Well, it wasn't a 6-hour flight there.
You can
almost drive it because I was somewhat shocked. I didn't realize Reno was as close to Bishop as it is. But Reno's only 169 miles north of Bishop.
So I didn't know that. I mean, I've driven up there several times.
Yeah,
Don't remember.
And to get from Tahoe to San Diego is about 9 or 10 hours if you're moving. But it takes a while to get down a mountain.
True.
To get from Tahoe down to 395. So. Anyway,
now the reason you went up though originally this was going to be a nursery convention.
Yeah, it was a trade show.
Right.
Yeah. And the trade show
business.
The trade show got canceled, but we decided just to go anyway. So we're looking. Hopefully, they won't cancel it next year, and we can.
Well, they've already sent out the
invitations
for next year. So, but that doesn't mean it won't cancel, right?
I didn't get mine.
And it looks like they got the bowling complex reopened.
Yeah, I know.
Didn't go visit it?
No, we didn't. I pointed it out from the hotel room.
And that was probably all Melanie wanted. That's where it is.
That's a pretty neat little, I mean, I'm not a bowling guy by any stretch of the imagination, but it's a nice little.
It's a pretty impressive venue.
It really is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it had that little bowling alley inside the bowling alley. Where
We had our little thing there. Yes. Yeah, that was nice.
It was nice. So anyway, you had good weather. We had wonderful weather. And we're expecting an on and off week of weather. It's supposed to warm up and nice for the weekend.
Okay, then
maybe a chance of showers, light showers on Monday, and a variable week, kind of like fall.
That's what we like.
We like it.
We need some rain. So,
well, you know, now's the time to start.
Weeding.
Start thinking about dormant spraying too.
Oh yeah,
That's what George and I were discussing.
No, George was discussing that. You were poo-pooing the idea.
I was poo-pooing it. It's still a little bit early.
Agreed.
Yeah, it's a little early.
But Ken didn't say to go out and spray. What did he say?
I thought you were advocating spray.
No, I was saying we should mention it and start thinking about it. Prep people.
Like November 15th, December 15th, January 15th. Typically,
give
right?
or take, that
yeah,
sounds
I
good.
Mean, yeah, in that range.
But we're talking roses, so that would be different.
Oh, I'm sorry. I was thinking fruit trees, but whatever.
And my best part of, I mean, I guess I could just give away the class right now. If it's mid-October or early to mid-October where you live, don't do anything in the rose garden. Just ignore them until you do your winter
cutback.
That'll
bring in the people today.
Yeah.
Yeah. Don't do anything.
Yeah. Yeah. Get there, there'll be empty chairs. So.
Yeah, like usual.
Yeah. I was going to say, well.
What's different, right?
I was walking through the shade house yesterday. I noticed canoes are already starting to bud up, which seems early because we had Yuletides that are just loaded with flower buds. But that's another thing to remember too. If you have camellias in your yard, don't feed them right now.
Right.
Now is not a good time to feed camellias. They get that rush of nitrogen, they'll push a bunch of new growth on them, and the new growth knocks all the flower buds off. Right. So
it's okay for him to tell people that they don't have to do anything in their camellia garden, but I can't
tell
them
that. They're
not
teaching
anything.
A class today.
Oh,
yeah, there's a difference.
Okay.
Yeah.
I gotcha. Thank you.
If you want to give us a call, 888-344-1170 is the number. We would be more than happy to talk to you today about anything you have going on. George, you were saying that you've seen a lot of sooty mold coming through.
Yeah, the last 3 days, probably four or five people, maybe a bit more, with black sooty mold, particularly on citrus, although a couple of people had it on some ficus.
Citrus, yeah. Citrus. We've had quite a bit of that, too.
And in those that I saw, it was all scale. When we went back on the branches, we found scale everywhere.
I had a customer yesterday bring me a picture of pimples on her, I think it was a longan fruit.
Oh, wow.
It was scale. But she was showing me the pimples on the fruit and wanted to know how to get rid of it.
That on the fruit itself?
Yeah. I got you.
It was covered with what looked like
plant barnacles.
Scale. Plant barnacles, yes.
That's a good way to describe them.
Yes, yeah. It is.
The horrible little things that they are. So we've got, noticed when I was walking around yesterday, we have onion sets in stock. I think all three varieties.
Yes.
And that was a question. I saw somebody pose the question, why do they call them red onions when they are obviously purple?
Yeah, I don't know, but I know they're colored.
I would say magenta.
Yeah.
Yeah, whatever.
They look more like a magenta from Blue's Clues than they do purple.
Right, well.
But they don't look red.
Correct.
Okay. That seems like a question I would pose, and I didn't do it this time, so.
We also have a great selection of garlic in stock right now.
Yes.
We have more than normal as far as varieties.
I think we got a couple more.
Some that I don't recall seeing before.
Yeah. Exactly. And then, quite frankly, I wouldn't be able to tell you the differences. But
you know
Kathleen.
Yes. And that's why she
got
went
some.
Above and beyond and got
she
some
did.
Extra
she got
varieties.
Some, she hadn't seen them. Supposed to be spicier or have a little bit more bite to them,
you know,
but I don't know.
That's people ask me about the different flavors of garlic. I don't know. It's garlic. I don't have any opinion about garlic to garlic like I would with different types of citrus or something else. But
right, nor
it's
do
all
I.
garlic.
I agree.
And she said there's some, you can use sulfur to spice them up a bit too. And again, she knows a heck of a lot about it.
Hmm.
We actually said that somewhere, maybe in one of our newsletters or one of our planting guides about putting some like sulpol mag when you first plant garlic and onions to help increase the bite.
Yes.
Interesting. If you want to give us a call today, 888-344-1170 is the number. You're listening to Garden Talk here on KCBQ and KPRZ. We're going to take a quick break, and we're going to be back with more right after this.
Get your gardening questions answered by calling 888-344-1170. That's 888-344-1170. There is more Garden Talk on the way. Welcome back to Garden Talk by Walter Anderson Nursery. Got a gardening question? Call 888-344-1170. 888-344-1170. Now, here's your hosts, Ken Anderson, David Ross, Mark Mahady, and George Allman.
And we're back with more Garden Talk here on KCBQ and KPRZ. I'm Ken Anderson along with David Ross, Mark Mahady, and George Allman. We've been talking about all kinds of stuff going on.
We were talking about onions and garlic and the sweet short day onion starts will be in the middle of November.
And when you say starts, we're talking the little plants that are rubber band together.
Yes.
They're already,
okay. Yes.
Already
for clarity. Right.
Yes. I think three or four different varieties of short day onions will be coming in. They're coming to Poway to divide.
Since I don't remember what it is, do you want to elaborate on a short day onion?
No, make George tell you that story.
Okay. So
I mean, ask George too.
We live in San Diego and everyone says it's always sunny here, which is mostly true, except for this lightning storm. But our days are relatively short from where we are based on the equator. So long day onions, where you have longer daylight hours, like up north in Seattle and for Oregon.
Pacific Northwest.
Northwest. You can
Alaska.
Grow. And well, yeah, I don't know if it's warm enough, but anyway. But Pac Northwest, Alaska, you can grow what are called long day onions, where they bulb with the longer daylight hours. Where we live in the southern part of the country, we need to grow what are called short day onions, and they can bulb with less daylight.
Now, didn't you tell me recently that you grew some intermediate day onions and they bulb just fine, not quite as big?
Intermediates, I did, yes. Long days I've grown, but I've gotten, you know, tiny
nothing.
Little, you get the greens, so I've grown for the greens. They need more daylight.
Full long.
They need more sun.
Pacific North.
And you said last week, or when we were talking, that the onion sets that we get in.
The white.
Those bulbs that we have, the white ones called snowball, are the short day.
Okay, because it's funny, and hopefully he's listening, but I did have a gentleman that was listening to the radio show last week, and he came in looking for onions, I don't know, one of the days this week, and mentioned that. And I'm like, I remember David talking about that, but I'll double check it, so I'll call him. Because I think it was the whites were the short day, and then the other were intermediate, long.
Oh, I think they're long. Yeah, okay. Those are long.
I've had good luck growing all of them. Again, I think the whites are the ones that
give you the full size.
Yes.
It looks like you purchased them from a store versus the smaller ones that you can get with the long. They'll grow. Again, you just don't get the big bulb.
You can use them for greens. But the ones we're getting in the middle of November, all the varieties short day. And then the leeks are expected. The leek starts in January. And
that's something I've never grown before, leeks.
I did once from those starts, and they were super easy and very quick.
Okay.
It seemed worthwhile.
We just finished the last of our onions that we planted last year. We had so many onions.
Well, that's the thing is,
it worked really well.
I grew onions 2 or 3 years ago, and I had onions. We had hundreds
of onions.
Exactly.
Well, see, I left mine in the garden to mulch and to go back to,
to nature,
feed the soil.
Exactly.
So I didn't harvest.
You were increasing your soil web, the diversity in the web.
Exactly. And speaking of webs, I was looking at my stored tubers, my stored seed potatoes, and they have webs, but I don't think it's soil web.
So you have spider mites, right?
Or boatload of them.
Yeah.
I did take some pictures. It looks like some of them have been enveloped in a silk purse because the webbing is so thick and so fine. It has a sheen to it, and they look like they've been kind of stored in a...
I had tomato plants like that this year.
And seed potatoes. The harvest is supposed to be done...
This week or next.
So hopefully by the first week of November, we'll have them.
We've had a lot of people asking about
tomatoes. I've sent out two emails to the transport companies to see what's going to happen this year. And I haven't heard back from them. So I'm going to have to enlist the seed potato company who took care of it for us last year. Because I haven't heard back from two inquiries.
Our potato bed actually has potatoes that just started with these rains. Because as you well know, when you harvest potatoes, you very rarely, unless you're growing them in a pot, you very rarely
get all of them.
And so I have four or five starts coming up in the garden. Clearly missed a few.
Like I said, Mrs. Carden in University City used to have them growing all over her hillside because they just, again, you couldn't.
You can't get them all.
Yeah, it's an easy plant to grow. I don't know why more people don't grow them. It's very easy.
Right.
That's the.
I've never tried growing potatoes.
I mean, I've only done it in containers, and they're way simple. Yeah, I mean, just. Then I just flip them over in the driveway, and I harvest some of them and leave some of them, you know, put them back in there and let them grow.
Why do you harvest them on the driveway instead of dumping them on a dirt bed so you don't have to clean up after yourself?
I don't have a whole lot of dirt beds in my
under the citrus trees in the back?
Well,
or next to them?
It's the citrus trees. Right. Like, yeah, I don't have a lot.
It's your life. Just let you live it.
Thank you.
Okay. Sorry.
And if I have to explain everything I did, I'd be in big trouble because a lot of it's not doesn't make a whole lot of sense after the
Got
fact.
A lot of explaining to do.
Yeah.
I really
don't want to have it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Fair enough.
Looking through the rest of the bulbs, we're getting a little bit low on freesias. They seem to be thinning out a little bit.
We almost sold out of all the bearded iris.
And
wow,
tulips are. I didn't see any bearded iris. Do we still have any? Or
I don't. I think there's much left there. We didn't get many in.
No. And we're getting low on tulips. But one thing that the rest of the stuff we're pretty well stocked on. And
I think we just got some more tulips in.
Oh, okay.
In this order that just came in.
Okay. A couple of things that are extremely popular and very easy to grow if you actually manage to get them into the ground or into a pot after you buy them. Casablanca lilies and stargazer lilies.
Yeah, they're beautiful too. They're
beautiful flowers. Yeah. Huge. 6-8 inches across.
Do those naturalize here, or are they something you have to pull?
Yeah, I think they will. They will naturalize here. But what I didn't see, as far as lilies is concerned, are the smaller lilies that we used to get in every year.
As everyone looks at each other,
I can't remember if they're the Casablancas and the Stargazers are Asiatic lilies, right?
Correct.
Then there was another lily that's smaller.
Are you thinking of the Zafranthes?
No.
No.
No. It was a smaller lily.
Sprachelia?
No. It's a lily. I can't. We get them in a container sometimes in the springtime. Compact. The flower's about that big around. Different color. Usually not in white or pink. God, it's going to drive me crazy now.
Yeah. It's going to drive me crazy too.
I can't think of it. It's a short putt.
Yeah.
It's not a drive.
I was just going to say you're already there, but
good point.
So, you know, I think 2 weeks ago I had mentioned that when I purchased the daffodils and the paper whites.
That you planted them.
I went right home and planted them, and now I have a bunch of them coming up already.
Already.
3 weeks.
Yeah. Yeah. You did it all in the ground?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah.
It's been a perfect couple of weeks.
It's been perfect for
the weather's
they're
been
coming
cooler,
up
the soil's cooling, and we've had rain. So
awesome.
A perfect storm of sorts.
It's nice to get them in the ground. And as you've often said, David, what's the, you know, planting a bulb is believing in the promise of tomorrow.
Well, I kind of stole that.
Yeah, but it's still, it's a valid point. And
I was noticing a crinum that I planted that will kind of naturalize here is blooming. And all of my Amaryllis belladonna are late this year. And they're blooming now. They were waiting for the weather to cool and to get a little moisture, which surprised me because I would have expected them to have enough energy in those bulbs to push the blooms regardless. But they're blooming right now, which is late.
It does
seem
late.
So
the Wild Animal Park or Safari Park has a nice selection of those on there when you do the Kilimanjaro Trail walk. There's a bunch of them in the back by their little waterfalls. Very pretty.
One of the tips for paper whites and daffodils too is plant them deep in your beds, and then that way you can plant annual color over the top of them, and then in the springtime they'll be some of the first flowers to first flowers to come up.
Yeah.
And actually, if you go up to Julian in the early springtime, is it Highway 79 that goes through Julian? It is 79, isn't it? Whatever it is, the main highway up to Julian is just covered with daffodils, covered with them. King Alfred daffodils.
I think I'm going to have a bunch long before spring because they're coming up right now.
Well, we used to, for a while there, we were selling every season. We were selling hundreds and hundreds of daffodils to. Was it the Julian Chamber of Commerce that was buying?
No, it was a homeowner up there.
But they buy bags of them.
Yes,
huge bags of them.
They came to get the leftovers at the end of the season to get a deal on them, but then we would order bags of hundreds, if not a thousand or so more for them.
And probably just come back every year, and they don't need to buy them anymore.
Yeah. And they did that for many years, and we haven't seen them for many years.
Right.
Because they naturalize beautifully.
Yeah, they'll naturalize. Yeah.
And they get the pups or their daughters, and they grow and grow and grow.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And just leave them down about 8-10 inches in the soil, and they'll be fine. As a matter of fact, I should probably plant some of those myself. If you want to give us a call, 888-344-1170 is the number. You're listening to Garden Talk here on KCBQ and KPRZ. We got an interesting plant in the Senecio angel wings. Did you see those? And
is that the big white?
Yes. Yeah, it looks like a giant. Looks like a giant lamb's ear.
Yeah, it's a gorgeous.
I was going to say giant Dusty Miller.
Yeah. I was going to say Dusty Miller.
Yeah. I don't think I've ever seen it.
Yeah,
they are real pretty. And if you told me
something, it's beautiful.
If you had told me it was a Senecio, I would have said no.
Yeah, agreed.
It's not.
Mm-hmm.
The foliage is striking, and it makes a great contrast.
Yes,
it really does.
For greens or purples or just about anything else that you have in the garden.
Correct.
Yeah, it's a really pretty plant. So I would, if I were you, I would check that out. It's a Senecio angel wings. You could when you come into the class for the class today.
Yeah, we have them out front. They are pretty.
You're listening to Garden Talk here on KCBQ and KPRZ. If you want to give us a call, 888-344-1170 is the number. We're going to take a quick break, and we're going to be back with more right after this.
Get your gardening questions answered by calling 888-344-1170. That's 888-344-1170. There is more Garden Talk on the way. Welcome back to Garden Talk by Walter Anderson Nursery. Got a gardening question? Call 888-344-1170. 888-344-1170. Now, here's your hosts, Ken Anderson, David Ross, Mark Mahady, and George Allman.
And we're back with more Garden Talk here on KCBQ and KPRZ. I'm Ken Anderson along with David Ross, Mark Mahady, and George Allman. You know, it's still not too late if you haven't planted mums.
Easy for you to say.
Fall mums are still available in 4-inch. We had some gallons out there, and I think we still had some of the big cash pots of them too, didn't we?
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah. And those cash pots are incredible.
Yeah,
the number of flowers.
Very dramatic.
The number of flowers that are on those things is just amazing. You know, one thing I miss about
looking at them.
One thing that I miss about mums is Carrie Sharp and the
Mum Festival at the
Safari Park that they would do every year. That was always amazing. The variety of mums that they would bring in. There were vining ones and bush ones and. It was just incredible, but I remember him telling us it was a lot of work, and they had to start they had to start that 2 years out. So it was a 2 year pipeline to get that put together. But they did a really nice job with that.
I chuckle at that because keeping things alive for 2 years in containers for a specific date.
Yeah.
It's just one weekend that you forget to do something and everything's toast. Out the window. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That's the thing with, that gets me with, poinsettia growers.
Yeah.
I mean, you have to dedicate a huge, huge portion of your growing operation to one specific crop for one specific time frame. And if you screw something up, and it's not like it takes just a little while to get it done. I mean, you have a big window to screw something up, and if you do,
your whole season's gone.
Yeah. I mean, it's
all very specific time, light, temperature, everything.
There are key dates in that.
Yeah. I remember my sister was talking to the bank one time, and they were talking about cash flow and it had been a particularly rainy spring, and so business was down, and the bank's like, well, why don't you just sell more in the summertime? And my sister's like, it doesn't work like that.
Yeah.
No, it's like a ski resort. If it doesn't snow in the wintertime, you don't get to make it up in the summertime. So it's a very, very seasonal thing, even in Southern California.
Yeah. And you did not avail yourself of the gondolas at Heavenly Valley to make up for their dry winter season.
Well, the one that was closest to the hotel wasn't operating.
Yeah. Okay. So
the one on the backside of the mountain was open, but I'm not going to drive over there.
I'm
walking all over the place. So.
Okay.
Yeah.
Let's see. Oh, John from the San Diego Botanical Garden is online. Good morning, John. How are you?
Hi, good morning, Ken. I'm doing well. How are you, all of you doing?
Doing very well, doing very well. Hey, I wanted to thank you for the for that bromeliad exhibition that you had in the conservatory. Melanie and I went up there a couple of weeks ago to see it. It was absolutely spectacular.
Oh, I'm so glad you enjoyed it. It was a big hit. Not as big as the orchid show, but it was a big hit. And people really enjoyed it. But we have a big thing coming up in the conservatory right now, and that is, I sort of feel like an expectant mother here, but we have a corpse flower that's going to bloom.
Really?
And it's nicely budded, and it's coming up. It's probably, oh goodness, 12 inches to 18 inches high right now. So we'll keep you informed, but you know, you never know exactly how they're going to pace themselves, but it'll probably be 3 weeks maybe before it'll bloom.
So
lasts only 2 weeks, and so it's a very narrow window.
So, John, are you giving us a heads up so we can avoid it when it's open, or so that we can come in because that odor?
Yeah, it is a very strong odor, but it tends to come in waves. We'll notice that one morning it'll be very, very strong, and then a couple of days the smell will subside a little bit. But the nice thing about the conservatory is that it's a very airy space during the day. We open up all the sides, and they're like garage doors on the sides, and so there's a lot of airflow. So it shouldn't be too obnoxious for the odor, but it's a really spectacular thing to see.
So how long have you had the plant? Has it bloomed before? What can you tell us about it?
Oh, goodness. We've had these for 11 or 12 years, and one has bloomed before. We have three large ones. The thing is, you never know exactly when they're going to bloom. They're sporadic. And we've found that I'm dialing in the care of them a little bit better. And so the feeding regimen and all that's important. It seems as though the better they're fed, of course, the better they're taken care of, they bloom a little more. But you really can't predict it.
Now, what do you feed them?
Well, I love fish emulsion, actually. I a little Super Thrive, a little fish emulsion, and I just do that on a regular basis.
So a high nitrogen.
Yeah, more high nitrogen, not really very much phosphorus. It's more nitrogen than anything.
Do you have any idea how big the bulb is for that? When was it repotted in the last year or so that you have an idea, or No idea.
Yeah, that bulb is about a foot across and about 18 inches long.
Wow.
Yeah, we're asking because, as you know, we have one up in the Poway store, and David feeds it pretty regularly with whatever we
have. Yeah, I've seen it. It's a nice plant. It's really crazy. We had some that were in big pots, and, you know, really that is a single leaf. When you see it, it looks like a very big palmate kind of a leaf, but that is a single leaf. It's not really segmented, and it was well over my head. It was probably 7 feet high, and the petiole of the leaf was probably 2.5 feet across. They're huge. Oh, bigger than that, probably 4 feet across.
Yeah, the first time I ever saw one in person was about 6 years ago up at the conservatory in Golden Gate Park in San Francisco. They had a couple in the greenhouse up there, and they were enormous. They were probably 15, just the vegetative growth on them, they were probably about 15 feet tall. And at the base where they came out of the soil, it was probably about 8 inches across. I mean, it's a massive stalk that those things put up. It's pretty impressive.
Yeah, they're cool plants.
Yeah.
You had a handful of them in the conservatory a couple years ago during the Christmas event when you had some of the spice crops in there.
Yeah, we did. They had really beautiful foliage.
Oh, they were
just
gorgeous.
Had not decided to bloom yet.
Which was probably good for the Christmas show.
Yes.
Yeah, definitely.
All right. Well, keep us posted on that, John. Sounds like it'll be worth a trip out to take a look at that.
Yeah, we sure will. Thank
okay.
you, guys.
Thanks, John. Have a great weekend.
You too. Bye-bye.
Take care. We're going to go down to Otay Mesa, where Bob is waiting. Good morning, Bob. How are you?
Hey, did you guys ever find out where you got those butterfly and bird charts?
Well, yeah, David used to get what was it?
Yes, I know where they come from.
Yeah.
I can't tell you off the top of my head. What's the folding charts? It's
right, the folding charts.
David's looking.
I will get back to you on that. If you listen for the next 5 minutes, I will get you the name of the company we get them from.
Yeah. Will you guys ever get them in a store like you used to?
Well, if we do, it'll be probably February, March when we get them in, just after the first of the year. I would not be expecting any right now.
Okay, well, thank you.
Okay, yeah, just keep an ear out. David's looking it up right now.
Will do.
Okay, thanks, Bob. Have a great weekend.
Hey, goodbye.
Take care.
Now, that's not one from some of our regular publishers, because I've never seen it.
Okay.
Keep going,
you guys,
Ken.
Keep going. And
I notice out just as you walk into the from the soil area into the vegetable area, I don't know where they came from, but there's two 15-gallon alobanziais out there, which are spectacular.
Okay, what is that?
It's a tree aloe. They're in 15-gallon containers. They're probably close to 6 feet tall.
Oh wow!
In single thread, they haven't branched yet, but absolutely gorgeous. So if you have a water wise or drought tolerant garden in your landscape, and you need some height out of
right.
it, that's an excellent choice for it. They get quite large.
They do,
and it's actually a really really pretty plant.
Pretty aloe, yeah.
Yeah, so that's alobanziae. What else do we got?
My parents' neighbors planted one 20, 30 years ago. It's enormous. It kind of looks like a bucarnia at the base. It branches out and blooms totally differently. It's a beautiful and no care plant.
Yeah, they don't require much at all.
You said that's the only way you beautiful. Kill
it. Yeah. Yes,
is that what you said?
Did I say beautiful?
You did.
It's an interesting specimen, is what I meant by the word beautiful. There.
All right. Just questioning
the third
or
fourth definition down the line.
All right.
George, you were telling me there's a new fly in town.
Yes. The University of California pest alert came out in August, so I missed it until recently, about it's called a BFF, and it's not your best friend forever, but it's a black fig fly. Huh. And it's a new pest for figs, and it's an invasive fig pest, and it's been recently discovered here in Southern California. And it can cause the fruit to prematurely drop to the ground.
Well, that's not good.
So, yeah. So the pest alert is on our Facebook page. You guys want to look at it, and it tells you to, if you do suspect it, to notify the county ag.
Good to know. You're listening to Garden Talk here on KCBQ and KPRZ. We're going to be back with more right after this quick break.
Get your gardening questions answered by calling 888-344-1170. That's 888-344-1170. There is more Garden Talk on the way. Welcome back to Garden Talk by Walter Anderson Nursery. Got a gardening question? Call 888-344-1170. 888-344-1170. Now, here's your hosts, Ken Anderson, David Ross, Mark Mahady, and George Allman.
And we're back with more Garden Talk here on KCBQ and KPRZ. I'm Ken Anderson, along with David Ross, Mark Mahady, and George Allman.
If we had been playing Name That Tune, the first three notes, I was hearing Stevie Wonder. I didn't realize it was Herb Alpert.
Herb Alpert.
Yes, I think absolutely.
This is Route 101, if I'm not mistaken. I don't know.
Waterford Press.
Waterford Press, that's for the fold-out.
The fold-outs. Right. And we were talking off the air, and there's been some discussion that we may have them in the stores before
Christmas.
Before Christmas.
Hopefully. We'll see.
That's the goal. I don't think it'll be a problem. If okay. they still exist, it'll be very easy to order and get them in before Thanksgiving. I'm going to set a goal. We'll okay. have, which one does he want? Do we know what he wants?
I think he wanted one of each, but I don't know. The birds and the
butterflies.
Well, there's a bunch of them, though.
Well, I don't
know. Yeah, the more popular are the
probably the ones that are pertinent to our area.
Well, yeah. No. But there are lots of, anyway, yeah. We order lots of them. Thank you, Mr. Anderson, for that guidance. That was very useful and helpful. And I will take that information going forward and do my best.
I don't know what kind of butterflies they were, but up in Reno and the surrounding areas, there was a ton of butterflies. Remember, it was a couple of years ago. Was it the
yellow sulfuria?
That yellow butterfly. They were everywhere. It was like that.
Were they yellow?
Yeah.
I think it's
the sulfur?
Sulfuria or something like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, but they seem smaller than the ones we had down here, but I don't know.
George and I were having a discussion about that, and I was talking about childhood road trips and passing those in alfalfa, and he did a quick search, and alfalfa wasn't one of the first things that came up. So we had a little discussion about that.
But alfalfa was one of the plants.
It was one of the plants.
This was one of the primary plants. Right?
Well, that makes sense then, because we did see a lot of them out by Fallon, and they grow a lot of alfalfa out.
And you were talking about in the Central Valley.
Yes. Yeah. I remember driving on our way to Yosemite or Kings Canyon and the butterflies everywhere. That was very exciting to drive through them.
Plow through them.
Exactly. You could see them on the
grill.
Car. Yeah, yes. The grill on your way.
For years to
you
come.
Had to clean them, yes.
Got an email the other day. There's a new pest that they're trying to keep out of California, but I don't think they're doing
it. Wait, there's more.
There's spotted lantern fly. It's in Pennsylvania, and they think it was detected in 2014 in Pennsylvania, likely hitchhiked as an egg mass on imported stone or associated packing materials. They're big bugs, up to 25 millimeters long.
That is
very
a big fly.
It's a leaf hopper. Lays eggs on any flat surface, including objects like the sides of trains, tree trunks.
That's going to be hard
random,
to keep out then.
Random non-living objects, such as vehicles. Feeds on Tree of Heaven, Alianthus altissima, which we
well,
that's
not
actually
bad.
A good thing.
That's
that,
a good
David,
thing.
That's David's least favorite plant
in
the world.
It is.
Yes.
But
worse than poison ivy.
Yeah. But
da-da-da-da.
It's also appearing in North America. It prefers grapes, and it can wipe out grape crops.
Well, that could be problematic.
So can a heavy runoff of water.
As can the Western grape skeletonizer.
Yes, it can. Yeah.
They found 10 adults in California on an air cargo flight in 2019.
Who's looking for?
That's what I was going to say. Who is looking for this
stuff? I would
suggest,
and I could be wrong here, if you found 10 in 2019 on a single flight,
it's here
in some other way.
Well, they found 44 live adults in California on air cargo flights in 2020, but they don't tell you where they were coming from. And they found 9 adults so far in California on air cargo flights in 2021.
Okay, I'm going out on a limb here. It's here.
Yeah, without a doubt.
You're right.
Yeah. One non-viable egg mass, one dead adult and dead nymphs found at the border in 2021.
So if you find those in your yard, take them out to Lakeside and drop them off on the ailanthus that are growing there, and maybe we can control the ailanthus of Lakeside.
And that's all they will eat. They will never go to the grapes. Is that what you're implying?
Well, if there's enough food source out there.
Okay, don't take them out there. Eradicate. No. How are they eradicating them? I guess I shouldn't be silly about this.
Yes.
What are they doing to control them?
Pyrethroids and neonics.
I can't say that.
The Secretary of Agriculture for the state of Pennsylvania said, we have vineyards in Pennsylvania that after 2 years are dead. They're done. Kills the plant, you're out of that business.
Sounds like something David would
say. That's very finite. Yeah. That's very definitive.
Let's not try and control them. That's it. Does it?
It doesn't say
does
what.
Does it eat them? Or does it spread a disease that's killing them? Does it?
I'm looking through here right now.
Well, stay tuned for those in many more answers.
It doesn't really say what.
Perhaps there'll be a Wednesday wisdom on this one.
Yeah.
So you get all the information.
You know, as big as this presentation is that I downloaded, it doesn't say what it is, what caught,
how it destroys the plant. Does the larva eat?
Maybe it's a red humped caterpillar larva, and that's why we're
liquid amber. We're seeing a lot of liquid amber.
It's funny because I had to call David the other day because I know you've talked about it. I couldn't remember the name of it,
right.
But the guy brought it in. I'm like, oh yeah, I
vaguely remember that.
We talked about it, yeah.
If you spot the lantern fly, get rid of it. Don't take it to Lakeside. Don't take it to Ailanthus. It'll get there on its own. What else did I just make light of that probably shouldn't have been made light of?
Just about anything you talk about.
Okay, thank you.
Well, you did make light of the black fig fly, the BFF, which has surprised me.
Speaking of things that fly, I haven't seen very much. I didn't see many peach beetles this year.
That's because people are using those
traps
and badminton rackets.
And yes, I
shovel
two,
works too.
Yeah,
I'm harvesting figs right now, and the tiger figs are beginning to, the skin is beginning to toughen on the vine, and they're drying on the tree, and it makes for an exceptional fruit. And I had two black mission figs. I have not found any black fig flies.
That you know of.
That I know of. Because when they get that soft and squishy, they go to the chickens anyway, so I don't have to worry about it.
Yeah, chickens like those beetles, too.
And they're right next to the grapes, which I'm going to have to look for the spotted lantern fly. To make sure I don't see any of those.
Gardening's getting hard.
It's really.
You know what?
You're a bummer.
Fruits are.
I noticed the other day, picking a few limes off of one of the lime trees.
And I wonder for what purpose.
Hmm?
Just kidding.
Salad.
You know.
Yeah.
And it's just a matter of time before we start seeing people bring them in. But the lime with the...
Oh, the rotted end?
The rotted end.
Yes.
Yeah.
And it's...
terrible disease.
Just horrible.
It's spreading throughout the bare slime crop.
Laziness.
Not harvesting.
Yeah, leaving them on
the tree a little too long.
Leave them on too long. Yeah,
what I particularly like, we haven't discussed this for a while, is people who bring in their lemons with that malady on them and
that
find out
actually
that,
limes?
That they have lime
trees. There's something wrong with my lemon tree. It doesn't taste right.
Well, it turns yellow.
Exactly.
But that's the bare slime.
Yeah.
Beyond ripe.
One of the ones we have has a ridiculous amount of fruit on it.
That's good.
Yeah. And actually, I have one planted in my side yard that actually produced for the first time this year, and the fruit is huge. I mean, it's the size of a size of a decent sized lemon.
Okay, quick segue. I have a Mexican lime next to my mango that I brought in that mango and smelled bad. Right. I took it home and I ate it last night.
You're still here.
And it was two nights ago. It was delicious.
Well, good.
And my dad wanted a mango, so I'm going to take him another one. And even though I guess I've never smelled the exterior of a mango from the store, that didn't smell good. But the interior, the flesh was very, very good.
Well, that's good to know. I don't eat mangoes either.
No.
Mangoes are a problem?
Mangoes are a problem. Yeah, don't like them.
Love mangoes.
Never liked them.
I've never had one.
I've tried
papaya, right?
Sometimes, but I've tried mangoes all over the world, and
Tried a mango from David's yard?
No, I probably won't.
Yeah,
you've been listening to Garden Talk here on KCBQ and KPRZ. We'll be back with another hour next weekend. Have a great weekend, everybody.
Thanks for joining us on Garden Talk by Walter Anderson Nursery, your source for gardening, landscaping, and horticulture news. Still have a question for the Garden Talk crew or want to learn more about the show, how to become a guest or sponsor? Send an email to askanexpert@walteranderson.com. That's askanexpert@walteranderson.com or visit walteranderson.com. There's more professional gardening advice next week at this same time on Garden Talk by Walter Anderson Nursery.
This program is sponsored by Walter Anderson Nursery.